Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is one of those weeks where it seems like the UAP story is moving in five directions all at once. We've got a new UAP Science Advisory Council, reportedly connected to the White House, with Avi Loeb leading the science side of it, and controversially for some, Michael Shermer now involved too. We've got a fresh discussion around jellyfish-style objects, including imagery connected to Iran, and the question that keeps coming back: with the scale of the American defence and intelligence industry, the budget, the apparatus, do they really not know what some of these things are? We've also got Anna Paulina Luna saying another UAP files drop could be coming within days. Or is that just when the interview was recorded? We'll get to that. We've got the MK Ultra hearing now back on the calendar and scheduled for next week. Details on that to come. And then we've got the Disclosure Foundation Forum 2026 in Washington, D.C., with members of Congress, scientists, former defence officials, journalists, and a whole lot more. I'm going to go over in detail for you too. That's asking the question: if this subject is real, serious, and no longer fringe, then what happens next? So today, I'm taking a step back and putting all of this together for you, because whether you see this as progress, theatre, pressure building, or something else entirely, one thing is clear: the UAP conversation is no longer just happening in podcasts, documentaries and online forums. It's in Senate buildings, advisory boards. It's around science, national security, psychology, religion, money, infrastructure. And the big question now is not just are they telling us anything, it's who is shaping the conversation, who is being brought into the room, who is being left out, and are we moving towards transparency, or is this another stage of the cover-up? Hi everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. As always, my name is Andy, and if you're watching on YouTube or you're listening on the audio platforms, I'm in my new surroundings, which is the shed, but it's been done up, believe it or not. So hopefully you may have seen some of the pictures online. Thank you to all of you who have helped me get this to where it is today. It's a work in progress. The background is still going to change a little bit too. But yeah, I'm getting there. And right now, this week in the UK, we have a massive heat wave, and we do not deal with the heat well in the UK. Hence, I'm in a t-shirt for a change, folks. A t-shirt you can buy from my own store, the Science the Shit Out of It. So yeah, you can check those out on the merchandise in the podcast store. All of that, including those of you who have signed up to memberships on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Patreon and YouTube. Big shout out and thank you. And also the Buy Me a Coffee link in the description has all helped me put this together, and I've got space to move and breathe and record. And I wanted to get this news update out while I've been really busy working on a few different things, because so much is happening right now in the UFO topic, and I think we're in for another busy couple of weeks, if the last couple of days is anything to go by. So what I want to do is just cover some of those stories. Of course, one of the big ones that's caught the attention in the last week is the creation of the UAP board by the White House and its scientific group being led by Professor Avi Loeb. Now, I spoke to Avi on the podcast just in the last couple of days. A really timely interview. Please check it out. Highly recommend it. And for me, maybe my best interview with Avi. I think I got a lot more out of him. I know he was on with Matt Ford, and a lot of folks are giving me comments around that particular interview. I think Avi was very different in terms of how he came across when he was on with myself, and I think it's always good to get different perspectives from different shows and guests. So please check it out. That group is in its embryonic stage. You get a lot of the what and whys of the group, what they're hoping to do, why they're going to do what they do. I've got an interview with Michael Shermer. He is the founder of Skeptic.com, who has been appointed to the board by Avi. That interview was going to be recorded yesterday, but it's been delayed because the heat is so extreme here in the UK. Even with my portable aircon unit in the recording space now, it didn't last the day. It got me through a few hours, but by the evening it was so hot I just couldn't record. So that will be done next week. So if you have questions for Michael Shermer, from a skeptic's perspective, I think it's a good thing having a Michael Shermer on that UAP science board. Genuinely, because I think for us, he could be used as a canary in the coal mine, that if indeed he gives us a signal that he is moving towards this being something, that's a really good sign for the work being done, I think, in the UFO topic. But yeah, Michael Shermer, one to keep an eye on there. Controversial figure, but I think a good appointment in a few different ways for that board. But I totally get anyone who is, pardon the pun, sceptical of Shermer's appointment. So let's get through some of the news that's happened in the last few days. And I want to start off with news from Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna. And she's had a couple of noteworthy items come out. She was on the Officer Tatum YouTube show. And she has a few comments that have gone viral and been talked about online. Now, the first one is that the interview dropped, I think, the 22nd of June. She said we were going to get a new UAP files release in the coming days. Now, the issue, I think, with that comment is it was recorded, the interview, I think, the week before. So I don't know if she was already talking about the third release. So that interview could have been before we got that third drop. So if we are getting a fourth drop, it would likely be this coming Friday. No news on that yet. Nothing else has been said. So keep an eye out for that, folks, for the 26th of June to see if we do get them, because they tend to come on a Friday. I've got no expectations at this point anymore with these drops. But let's see what comes of those if it does indeed come. I've got a feeling she was talking about the third drop potentially. But if anyone can clear that up, I couldn't find it online. I checked a few different systems and the best I could see was the interview was likely recorded middle of June. So I think she was referring to the third drop on there. She did talk about the most incredible video that kept her up. You know, the way the question was framed was... From Tatum, the host, you know, what's the most amazing thing you've seen? And it's a good question. It's a fair question that's going to be asked, I think, by folks looking for a big clip or soundbite. Luna's response was that it was the video that Corbell and Knapp released of the UAP going through the clouds, a spherical disc that looks like it was shot from above and it's moving in and out. Now, that looks really, really cool. If indeed it is an object moving through the clouds, as we expect, we need more data. We need a lot more data to clarify this kind of stuff. But at a glance, it's a pretty incredible video. Now, she says that's the one because the FBI had it as unresolved. It's been out there now for a while, though. So the answer wasn't quite as spectacular, I think, that many of us would have maybe hoped for. I struggle sometimes to get a read on Luna as to how much she actually knows and how much is just things that we know and we know are out there, but she's regurgitating. And I don't mean that genuinely, don't mean that in a disparaging way. But if she's got this group around her that we know of, Burleson, Burchett, Moskowitz, Grush is part of that group, Stephen Greer potentially in their ear, I'm not too sure of his involvement, and others, that she's just kind of finding this all out as it goes along. Because UFOs, UAP aren't her life. She's done a lot of great work on this, but she has so much many other things on the go. That, yeah, I don't know, because sometimes she seems really high on the topic and other times we're being told, like she said recently, that the good stuff's been released and there's nothing more. I don't know about that necessarily. On that, I want to tell you about the MK Ultra hearings. Now, this is something Luna announced a few weeks ago or a couple of months ago, perhaps even, that got delayed. We now have a date for those and I'm going to read you some of the information, folks, here. So she's announced a hearing, and this is from the oversight.house.gov site. Washington Task Force on the Declassification of Federal Secrets Chairwoman Anna Paulina Luna today announced a hearing on Mind Control and Accountability, Uncovering the Truth of the CIA's MKUltra Experiments. It's a hell of a headline already, isn't it? Given what we've gone through in the last couple of years with the hearings and everything from a UFO perspective, is it really that much of a surprise? But what a hearing to have announced. This will get some mainstream attention, I think, mainly from like big podcasts and outlets looking to cover this kind of stuff. During the hearing, members will examine the... Sorry, there's some... stuff in the way of the actual reporting. Yeah, members will examine the history and timeline of the CIA's MKUltra project and its original classification and how the project meets the CIA's obligation to protect the United States. Members will also analyze the intel community's unwillingness to declassify information related to MKUltra and how the lack of transparency has reduced American trust in government institutions. The intelligence community has covered up the nature and classification of the MKUltra experiments for decades. Americans have been misdirected repeatedly and deserve transparency and accountability from the CIA. The intel community's unwillingness to deliver the truth has fueled dangerous conspiracy theories and eroded public trust in the federal government. This hearing aims to explore the history of the MKUltra experiments, how they have impacted Americans' well-being, and how the intelligence community can win back trust, said Task Force Chairman Luna. So, it's the mind control and accountability, uncovering the truth of the CIA's MKUltra experiments, Tuesday the 30th of June 2026 at 10 a.m. Eastern. So that will be 7 a.m. Pacific. For those of us in the UK, that's 3 p.m. in the afternoon. A lovely time of day, so thank you for that. And that is in 2154 Rayburn House office building. It does list a couple of witnesses here. I'm not familiar with them. First, we have Stephen Kinzer, Senior Fellow in International and Public Affairs at Brown University, and also Tom O'Neill, investigative journalist and author of Chaos, Charles Manson, the CIA and the Secret History of the 60s. Interesting stuff, I think. To see this coming out. For those of you unfamiliar with what MKUltra was, let me just give you a couple of bits of information here, okay? And there isn't necessarily a direct UFO connection, okay? But I think it's worth laying out and tying out some of the details. MKUltra is a secret program run by the CIA. Officially, it began in 1953, right in the middle of the Cold War. The basic idea was the US was worried that its enemies, particularly the Soviet Union, China, North Korea, were developing techniques around brainwashing, interrogation, and mind control. So the CIA started looking into whether human behaviour could be influenced, manipulated, or controlled. And a lot of folks, I think, when they think of these types of things, are familiar with experimentation with drugs, hypnosis, sensory deprivation, sleep disruption, psychological stress, interrogation techniques, and different forms of behavioural conditioning. I think it sounds like real conspiracy theory territory, but the thing is, this was real. This is not speculation. This was documented CIA programming. Now, what the CIA were trying to do was work out whether people could be made more suggestible and whether memories could be altered, whether people could be broken down psychologically, and whether drugs could be used to extract information or control behaviour. Now, LSD became one of the substances most famously associated with the programme, but it wasn't only LSD. They were interested in a range of chemical, biological and psychological tools. Some of this was framed as defensive. Obviously, what if our enemies are doing this to our people? But some of it was clearly on the offensive as well. Can we use these methods ourselves? MKUltra does have a lot of disturbing aspects to it. So the most infamous part of it was they were carried out on people without their knowledge or even proper consent. People were dosed with drugs, some were placed in extreme psychological situations, some of them were prisoners, patients, students, or even ordinary members of the public who had no idea that the CIA was even involved. A lot of the work was also hidden behind front organisations, you know, private researchers, hospitals, universities, and this was not just a few experiments in a lab. This was a broad, secret research programme into human behaviour, with very serious ethical lines being crossed over and over. And this is why the MKUltra program has such a dark reputation still today, and partly why the CIA has such a dark reputation, as if it needs any more of a dark reputation, to be honest. A lot of MKUltra records were destroyed in the 70s, shock horror. How is it connected to UFOs? Some folks do tie this kind of stuff in, and you hear it come up in UFO conversations relatively often. Now, there's no publicly available evidence to suggest it was used to study UFOs, cover up UFOs, or fake UFO events even, or potentially manipulate UFO witnesses. The documented purpose was around behaviour modification, interrogation, so you can't say it was a UFO-related programme, but it does not mean it doesn't have relevance to the UFO subject. It sits in that Cold War era territory, folks, and that means something. You've got the CIA, you've got the military, you've got classified aircraft, nuclear paranoia, psychological warfare, disinformation, fears about Soviet capabilities. This was prime, you know, Cold War territory, and the UFO story is heavily, heavily enveloped in that. It shows us the intel agencies were willing to do, and how far they were willing to go in secret when they believed national security was at stake. So I don't doubt the UFO and MKUltra story crosses over in a lot of different ways. It's not something I've covered in detail at all, really, throughout the history of the podcast. But I think perception management would be the direct link, if anything at all. It's not aliens, but how people perceive reality, how they respond under stress, how memory works, how suggestibility works. So when we're thinking witness testimony, abduction claims, screen memories, hypnosis, staged events, psychological operations, or even manipulation of what they believe, MKUltra becomes a relevant comparison. I think you'll understand a lot of that stuff there, okay? Disinformation, a huge part of the whole operation, but again, that stems from the Cold War culture and where that was. So yeah, it doesn't prove anything at all, I think, this hearing, in terms of UFOs, whether they were fake, real, staged or covered up, but I think it's giving us a bigger look into the intelligence world, which is under the microscope with what's come out over the last couple of years, with the statements from the likes of David Grush and others, and that they are being watched and they have some pressure being applied to them. It's just how much pressure do they take before they push back? And perhaps we've seen some of that pushback already. And the idea that I mentioned at the beginning in the open to this show, is this part of the cover-up? Are we seeing stage two or another stage of the UFO cover-up where so much is potentially out in the open, there's a risk of exposure of really dangerous and sensitive information, that we're now seeing this? I've seen a lot of comments online regarding the MKUltra hearing. If you go on X or any social media platform, I get they can be pretty rough in terms of...
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The landscape, really. And that's why, again, I always promote, if you sign up to the podcast, you get access to the Discord. But I wonder, is this where we are with this conversation? We are in a new stage of the UFO cover-up. We have intelligence communities exposed. We have information out there that they are worried more stuff, more sensitive, more dangerous information makes its way into the public arena, and they're pushing back. I've seen a lot of comments online on X and various platforms like that, where people are saying that Anna Polina Luna is a Russian asset, this is just more KGB influence, all that kind of stuff. And I don't know, I don't want to go there. It's a UFO podcast. But yeah, I think there is a relation with these hearings, with the significant push forward. Personally, I would rather see more effort put into and directed into the UFO side of things here, rather than this MKUltra conversation, but let's see if indeed it crosses over at any point during the hearing. So definitely one to check out next week there, folks. One quick story you may have seen in the news is that of the American pilot that was shot down over Iran back in April, and it required a rescue mission by special forces. But what makes this a UFO related story is what he saw before he ejected from his aircraft. Now, let me read this from the OSINT Defender account over on X. So, the American pilot of a US Air Force F-15E Strike Eagle that was shot down over Iran in April, requiring a high-risk rescue mission by special forces, described a shocking sight before ejecting from his aircraft. Multiple Iranian drones hovering in the air, moving as one in a formation that resembled a jellyfish. Four sources familiar with the matter have told CNN. Multiple drones interconnected and moving as one, with smaller drones below the bigger drones like legs. One of the sources familiar with the pilot's witness account told CNN, real alien shit. Science the shit out of it, as I would say. Another source told the pilots, described witnessing a minefield of drones in the air prior to being downed over Iran. The pilot's account immediately set off a firestorm of debate that's yet to be resolved within the US intelligence community. Now, I'm not saying this is UFO or UAP definitely related, but I think the connection's obvious. Do the US, with a $1 trillion defence budget, really not know what this stuff is? I imagine at least part of that military does. Maybe they're just keeping their cards close to their chest. It's a story worth mentioning because the jellyfish conversation's one that's been had over the last couple of years. Jeremy Corbell and George Knapp released a video. Former UAP Task Force analyst Sarah Gamm had come forward and said it was human technology. Others have disagreed with that. Knapp and Corbell are very vehemently disagreeing with that assessment. CNN covered this, and Peter Skafish, co-founder of the Sol Foundation, on CNN talked about these things being seen way back in a time before drones would have been common at all. And he used the term non-anthropogenic vehicle, an NAV. And the CNN host, I'm glad, said, you know, typical with this topic in the military, another acronym. And Peter laughed at that. And we definitely don't need any more acronyms like that. But I'm curious to hear your thoughts on these jellyfish UAP. Are these just advanced drone systems? Even a country like Iran, where you wouldn't normally put them with having the highest cutting edge technology, but perhaps these countries do have some really interesting pieces of equipment. And is that what we're seeing in the skies? Is that what's being photographed? Like you say, if we do have a kind of mother drone with legs, quote unquote, hanging down, with smaller drones hanging off of them, are those, you know, explosives that can be dropped? Are those drones that can detach and fly off on their own if they have to? Technology's getting weird and wonderful, folks, as we know. But yeah, definitely one that I was intrigued to see being covered in the mainstream media and seeing that jellyfish term catching on. But yeah, curious to know your thoughts on that one. Does this make the jellyfish UAP stories more likely to be drone technology, human drone technology, or are we still looking at something else? There is also a UFO-related event this week. Actually, it's tomorrow on the 25th of June. Pretty significant event happening in Washington, D.C. And I'm definitely going to bring this one up to you because you are going to appreciate the list of names involved. It's set up by the Disclosure Foundation and it's called the Disclosure Forum 2026. It's being held at the Kennedy Caucus Room in the Russell Senate Office Building in DC. Now, it's free and open to public, but its seating is first come, first served. And it runs from, in the UK, roughly 2 p.m. until 9:30 p.m. UK time. In Washington, it's 9 a.m. until 4:30 p.m. Eastern. So it's going to be live streamed on the Disclosure Foundation YouTube channel, which I imagine how most folk will be watching it. And the headline theme is Humanity at the Edge of Discovery. The idea here seems to be moving the UAP conversation beyond the basic question of, are these things real? And I think that's a theme we now see with any UFO or UAP friendly or adjacent group. We don't have that conversation anymore. These things are real. There are UFOs. And when I say there are UFOs, I don't mean unidentified objects. I mean there are things in our skies, in our waters, and in our space that are not human. That's what I mean. And just to make that clear. And we're going into conversations now in these groups where bigger questions around science, policy, national security, religion, technology, finance, and wider societal impact of disclosure. Just on that, folks, you'll see on Wednesday the 24th of June, I've got an interview released with John Priestland and Dr. Martin Abbas from Unhidden, a UK-based organisation, and they are discussing the real societal impacts on healthcare services, people's mental health, of disclosure and what that could mean, what would come next, how it actually impacts the everyday person. Really interesting conversation, and they're doing genuine work. Martin Abbas himself is a GP. He's a doctor, so he's putting himself out there for this conversation. Really very much recommend that one when you see it drop on YouTube and all the audio platforms. So this one with the Disclosure Foundation involves members of Congress, and it's bringing together government, science, defence, journalism, psychology. I'll give you some of the names involved. So on the political side, we've got Senator Mike Rounds and Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. Huge names to be involved in any arena like this. Both of those are important because they sit on the Senate Armed Services Committee and the Senate Intelligence Committee, and both have been connected, as we know, to UAP legislation and oversight. Gillibrand has been, and I think not for a while really, but she was a key name around, you know, Arrow and the formal UAP reporting structure. She seemed like for a short time, a real champion of the topic, but is still involved. Rounds has also been closely tied to the UAP Disclosure Act efforts. It was the Schumer-Rounds Amendment, you know, his name is in there. On the House side, you've got Luna, you've got Burleson, Burchett, and I'm going to take a pause to say the surname, Subramaniam. Yeah, Subramaniam. Suha Subramaniam. So I've got that, yeah. Scottish accent, that's a lot of brutal letters for me to pronounce in one and a go. I can't even say my own surname, let alone that. So, but yeah, all the Congress folk, many of them familiar to you because of their tie-ins to this subject, are pushing to get more information out of the government. We think, we hope, that's what it looks like. So that congressional roundtable is going to be one of the main things I think people tune in for. The event's been put on by Disclosure Foundation, and Christopher Mellon is a central figure here. Now, Mellon is the chairman of the foundation and obviously one of the most important public figures in the modern UFO story. Whether you think he's got some shady, secret, shadowy agenda, or you think he is truly friendly to the topic and done a lot for it. And there are people across the spectrum, regardless who's involved in this. But he is a former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defence for Intelligence, played a major role in this back from the 2017 New York Times story, involvement with Tom DeLonge and Two of the Stars. And he's going to give the opening address, which should set the tone for the day. I'm always intrigued to hear what Christopher Mellon says, especially from a serious disclosure point of view. There's also a national security and defence panel that includes the likes of Timothy Gallaudet, retired Rear Admiral, Kirk McConnell, who worked for years on the Senate Armed Services Committee, Marek von Rennenkamp, former State Department analyst, and Chris Mellon himself is on that panel. And that's probably going to focus on the government side of this, NAT security, airspace safety, intel sharing, defence implications, etc. And for me, it's a key question here is how you balance transparency with legitimate classification concerns, because whether we like it or not, there are issues that are potentially national security implications to some of this information. Our thing here, folks, and I'm going to speak for all of us, I think, is the overclassification of this and how it's used to classify things that should not be classified. David Grush said it best at that Capitol event recently, that our science is being classified, the nature of reality is being classified. We should be allowed to know that we are not alone in the universe. That isn't something that needs to be classified, and that's what organisations have done and are doing right now. And that's the frustration. That's a real big frustration for me. I think if you've got sensor capabilities, sources, methods, adversarial concerns, I get there's going to be a lot of caution around there. So perhaps the blanket approach is to just classify everything. But that isn't the right way to do this, and I hope that's what we're starting to break through. Of course, we have a science panel that is called From Anecdote to Instrumental Data, and I think that title tells you a lot. It's about moving the subject away from just stories and testimony towards proper data, sensor calibration, repeatable measurements, instrumentation. I think a great example of that calibration side of things, which can sound boring, and I hope you're sticking with me here, folks, is the Chinese spy balloon story. The idea that this spy balloon was up there and they only found it because they recalibrated the sensitivity of certain instruments and realised, oh, actually, there's stuff in our air we weren't even picking up. How many of those Chinese spy balloons had went through the air? I doubt that was the first, folks. That will have been one of hundreds, if not thousands, of those objects over the years that has flown over the continental United States or North America. I don't doubt they're over the UK, perhaps, but instrumentation was not picking them up. So again, it's about the correct calibration to find what is in our skies. Avi Loeb is part of that, and also Hal Putov. Avi, of course, is heading up the science board now. Putov has been around the deeper history of the UFO topic and anomalous research for decades. So a really interesting pairing there for me, and one to watch closely. There's a religion and psychology aspect to it, technology and finance, and I would encourage folks to check out the link in the description and go and see it. It's a free event, and like I say, streamed live on YouTube. But the big takeaway for me is this. It's not being framed, again, as a typical UFO event. It's being framed as a serious policy and society event. It's about Congress, science, NAT security, tech, money, and all of the above. I don't think we're going to get major revelations coming from this, but perhaps we might see some shaping of where things are going to. Be careful with your expectations, but it does show the conversation moving into more formal spaces, and we're getting more academic and scientific names coming into the space that haven't been there before, which is really good and really reassuring, and that's really worth paying attention to. I do feel there is a space here where we should get some answers, because don't forget, the Disclosure Foundation was called the Disclosure Fund, and part of its reason for setting up was to fund and help and assist whistleblowers and folks coming forward legally, financially, protection, all that kind of stuff. And we've then got Matthew Brown and Dylan Borland, two whistleblowers, who have had to set up a new initiative to get financial help in for whistleblowers, and they're saying they are not getting any support from organisations, not only the Disclosure Foundation, but any organisation who'd set things up. There's a conversation to be had there. And I think it needs to be had sooner than later, because that's always going to affect organisations trying to do things like this and trying to do it well. Love to know what people think about that, folks. This one for me, I'm going to keep as a kind of short and sweet update, because it's so hot today. And the recording wise, in the UK this week, we've got a bit of a flash heat wave. And yeah, it's pretty stuffy. Lots to come though. Like I say, you've then got a potential drop coming in the next couple of weeks of more files. We have the event next Tuesday, the MK Ultra hearing. We have the event tomorrow through Disclosure Foundation. I'm intrigued to see where we're heading with this whole chat. I've got Michael Shermer joining me for an interview next week on the podcast, folks. I can announce I've got Chris Ramsey of Area 52 joining me in the coming weeks for an interview. Jason Somoza, who's done some wonderful deep dives recently on the Collins Elite, and others joining me on the podcast in the coming days, and a few other guests that I'm just sorting out dates with. Thanks everyone for sticking by the last couple of days and weeks. Well, hopefully the content hasn't looked like it's been few and far between. I think I've still got quite a lot of shows out, but it's been busy getting the space moved about. And like I say, the background's going to change and adapt and all that kind of stuff as well. But yeah, if you've signed up to those memberships, huge appreciation. Thank you so much, folks. It really does make a massive difference, especially over on Spotify. If you type in That UFO Podcast Premium, or on Apple Podcasts, you can sign up and go for a monthly or annual membership. Patreon is always a great place to sign up. There's a lot of different options there, including monthly, annual, and free trials. And those of you over on YouTube can sign up to YouTube memberships. More members-only content will be dropping in the coming weeks now I've got this space to do it, and a space I quite like to be in. I've got all my software and my hardware all set up pretty much now, and I'm looking forward to really getting into some more interesting shows in the coming weeks and months. But please, folks, send me over any questions you have for the next show that I'm going to record. Any thoughts, opinions on where the conversation is at right now, I'm very much intrigued to know. And keep an eye over on various platforms like YouTube, Discord, and Patreon for any of those questions I put out, and you can get involved and help shape the show as it goes along. But anyway, folks, that's all for now. Enjoy the Disclosure Foundation's event tomorrow. Let me know your thoughts afterwards, and of course the MK Ultra hearing next week. But you'll hear from me before then, and I'll speak to you all very, very soon.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.